When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The head of NATO is disputing Russian claims that Moscow has started drawing down its troops near Ukraine. Plus, why stock short sellers are drawing scrutiny from the Justice Department.
The DOJ is largely focused on what you could broadly consider potential market manipulation. And that's a really vague term that is applied in lots of different situations. But our understanding here is that there's evidence of very unusual trading activity around these short seller campaigns.
What that means for the broader market. And how the home office vibe changes when your partner goes back to the office. It's Wednesday, February 16th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg says Russia continues to amass forces around Ukraine, despite reports from Moscow that Russian troops had started withdrawing from Crimea. Stoltenberg spoke today during a gathering of NATO defense ministers in Brussels.
We have heard the signs from Moscow about readiness to continue diplomatic efforts, but so far we have not seen any de-escalation on the ground. On the contrary, it appears that Russia continues the military buildup.
Some 130,000 Russian troops have gathered near Ukraine, including some 30,000 for military drills in Belarus. Ukrainian officials have also dismissed Russia's claims on withdrawals, saying troops could easily move back toward the border. Ukrainian forces remain on alert. U.S. shoppers ramped up spending at the start of the new year. The Commerce Department said retail sales, purchases at stores, online, and restaurants rose by a seasonally adjusted 3.8% in January. The increase came as the Omicron surge began to recede and inflation hit a 40-year high. Economists say rising prices are playing a big role in the spending numbers. Inflation was also a big topic at the Federal Reserve's January meeting. The Fed minutes released today show officials discussed speeding up the timetable for interest rate increases this year to help bring rising inflation under control. The minutes indicate officials were more comfortable with raising rates at consecutive meetings, which occur about every 6 weeks. The central bank signaled it's likely to begin doing so at its next policy meeting in mid-March. Officials also continued to discuss winding down the Fed's $9 trillion asset portfolio. Tensions between Russia and Ukraine dragged down the major indexes in early trading today, but they recouped some of their losses after the release of the Fed minutes. Stocks ultimately ended the day close to where they started. The price of oil has continued climbing. U.S. crude was up 1.7% to $93.65 a barrel. Google is following Apple with plans to curtail tracking across apps on its Android devices. Reporter Trip Mickle, who covers Google for The Wall Street Journal, has more on the plans.
Google's taken a very different approach from Apple. When Apple made its decision, it said, here's what we're doing. We're going to introduce a feature that essentially asks you each time you kind of begin using an app, do you want this app to track you when you're not using the app or not? And that gave people to opt in or opt out of tracking by apps for advertising purposes. Google hasn't said at all what they plan to do. In fact, what they've said is that much like a federal agency, they're in a phase of rulemaking where they're going to introduce a concept, they're going to collect feedback from privacy advocates, regulators, and app developers, and then by the end of the year, they plan to have a beta version of the changes that they want to introduce to limit app tracking, and then they want to introduce those changes at scale in 2023.
Google's plans could pose a challenge for the digital advertising industry and Facebook parent Meta. Apple's privacy policy changes, which went into effect last year, contributed to a more than $300 billion fall in Meta's market value. Regulators, especially in Europe, are also taking a closer look at the legality of tracking users for targeted advertising. We have more on this story on our Tech News Briefing podcast out tomorrow morning. And President Biden is directing the National Archives to release White House visitor logs to the select House panel investigating the January 6th riot at the U.S. Capitol. Former President Donald Trump had sought to shield the records, citing executive privilege, a claim Biden has dismissed. The House committee has requested a range of materials, which also include calendars and schedules from the National Archives as part of its investigation. Representatives for Trump did not immediately respond to a request for comment. Coming up, short sellers were in the spotlight during last year's meme stock trading frenzy. Why the Justice Department is now zeroing in.
WSJ Special Access gives you a front row seat to some of the Wall Street Journal's most exciting content, like The Quirkier Side of Life, a new series that features the fun, surprising stories our reporters come across.
The chief executive walks 10,000 barefoot steps every day. He recalls stepping on a bee, which put him off earthing for a couple of days, but he got back to it.
Check out The Quirkier Side of Life on WSJ Special Access, only for WSJ subscribers.
We report exclusively that the Justice Department is taking a closer look at short sellers. According to people familiar with the matter, the DOJ is investigating whether some short sellers conspired to drive down stock prices by sharing damaging research reports ahead of time. Sources say the probe is also focusing on illegal trading tactics known as spoofing and scalping. Joining me now to explain just what those are and why they're drawing the eye of federal law enforcement is Wall Street Journal finance reporter Liz Hoffman. Hi, Liz. Thanks for being here.
Great to be here.
So, Liz, before we get into the details of this investigation, let's start with the basics. What role do short sellers typically play on Wall Street?
So, when you think of someone who owns a stock, they're betting that it's going to go up. Short sellers do the opposite. They bet that a stock is going to go down. And they do that through a slightly complicated trade where they borrow a share and with the understanding that they could buy it back later at a lower price and then make money on the profit, make the difference there. So they are not universally popular. People don't like it when stocks go down. It feels bad. And so short sellers tend to get a lot of mostly unfair blame for that. But they also play a really important role, which is that they help uncover corporate frauds. There have been short sellers at Enron, at, you know, a bunch of big companies that we now know to have been fraudulent, and they were some of the first who rang the alarm. And the reason is that they have a financial motive to do it. And that's very incentivizing. And so they are a complicated camp, but very important for the way the market functions.
And to the point about this being a complicated group, short sellers were also in the spotlight not too long ago when they caught the attention of meme stock retail traders. Remind us why short sellers were in the spotlight then.
Yeah, if you remember, there was this real frenzy that was being driven by Reddit and Twitter, social media, where they were bidding up these small companies, GameStop, AMC movie theaters, companies that were deeply challenged and their stocks were quite low, and they became this sort of rallying cry. And because all of these retail investors wanted these stocks to go up so badly, their natural enemy were the people who were betting they would go down. And so they became real villains for the meme stock crowd. There was a very high profile situation around GameStop where there was a short investor there who basically had to throw in the towel. He got beaten by the retail shareholders, but they were real villains in that story. Again, mostly unfairly, but they really got caught on the wrong side of that fight.
Now let's talk about the latest DOJ investigation. What are federal law enforcement officials looking into here? What have you learned so far?
So what our reporting shows from people who are familiar with this investigation is that the DOJ is largely focused on what you could broadly consider potential market manipulation. And that's a really vague term that is applied in lots of different situations. But our understanding here is that there's evidence of very unusual trading activity around these short seller campaigns. And the way these generally work is a short seller will do a bunch of research on a company and put out a presentation about why they think it's overvalued or why they think it's fraudulent or what they think they might be doing wrong in their accounting. And when those land, it typically causes the stock to go down, as you might think. But our understanding from our reporting is that there's some very unusual trading activity around when those reports are made public that suggests that they have been shared ahead of time and that there is very manipulative trading happening. It's something called spoofing, which is a little complicated, but basically it means faking the market, that you put in an order that you have no intention of completing and you cancel it very quickly. And the mechanics of it are a little complicated, but it can move the stock in the direction that you want it to move. And if you do that enough times, you can make a lot of money. That's illegal. That was made illegal after the 2008 financial crisis, and people have been put in jail for it before. So that's spoofing. Another market manipulative tactic that they're looking at here is called scalping. In this situation, mostly refers to an activist short seller who comes out and says, I am short this company. Here's why I think it's a fraud. Brings a lot of people along with them. And then they quietly change their minds and they start buying the stock when it falls. That's a slightly trickier legal argument to make. It's not applied as commonly. It's not quite as obviously illegal in these situations. But it does make people feel a little icky, which is to say that if you have publicly said what you believe about a company and put your money behind it and convinced others to do the same, it feels a bit unseemly to then turn around and try to profit on the back end of it. So those are the two things that we understand they're looking at. I should also say this is, you know, a wide-ranging investigation that is, you know, a couple of months old, but will continue, and we don't know what they will find, you know, if anything, as they keep moving ahead.
Liz, is the investigation at this point focusing on specific short sellers and or firms? And if so, how have they responded to the probe?
So the two highest profile short sellers out there are Carson Block. His firm is Muddy Waters. The other is a man named Andrew Left. And our reporting shows that Carson Block was served with an FBI search warrant at his home in October, looking for his phones and some electronic communications, which suggests that he is a focus of this investigation. The other, Andrew Left, we have not reported this, but Bloomberg News reported that his computers were seized by law enforcement. There, you know, appear to be a lot of subpoenas out to other market participants. Unclear whether they are just sort of intelligence gathering at this point, but this does appear to be a pretty wide-ranging investigation. I should say that both Carson Block and Andrew Left have publicly said they do not believe they did anything wrong here, and they actually seem a bit confused as to why the Department of Justice is looking into their activity at all. You know, the Justice Department is generally pretty tight-lipped, in part because they don't know where this investigation is going to go.
Liz, what are the potential implications of this investigation for other short sellers and for the market more broadly?
Well, you have to think that the short selling community is scared. It is a scary thing to be the subject of a Justice Department investigation. Whether that will make them more gun-shy about their research and about their trading activity, I don't know. But I think pending the outcome of this, having a functioning short-selling community is important to the market. There's this sort of assumption that a lot of people have that stocks should just go up, and they generally do over time. But it's a market, and it goes up and down, and there should be incentivized people, you know, just the same way that a good stock picker might try to figure out why a company is going to make more money than its competitors, it's important to have people taking the other side of that trade. And I think whatever comes out of this, you know, you hope that there is a vibrant and above board short selling community on Wall Street.
That's Wall Street Journal finance reporter Liz Hoffman. Liz, thanks so much for your time today.
Great to be here.
And finally, for some, working from home during the pandemic meant sharing a workspace with domestic partners. But as more people go back to the office, they're getting some reprieve, and the home office all to themselves. So what are they doing with their newfound freedom? Our reporter Veronica Dagger says Elliot Pepper from Baltimore is turning up the volume at home now that his wife Shira is back in the office.
He liked to listen to things like Foo Fighters or Collective Soul. And so when she went back, he went in front of the dining room mirror using his son's baseball bat as an air guitar and just rocked out to Red Hot Chili Peppers, By the Way. And he just said, you know, this reminds me of my glory days. I'm getting to play the music I want to play, live my life the way I want to during the workday. And it's a bit of a sense of freedom.
And that's what's news for this Wednesday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.